it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Phillies, Dodgers, 11th inning, epic pitcher's duel. 1-1, bases loaded, two outs. Orion Kerkering's on the mound. And Ipajes at the plate. Broken bat tapper to the pitcher. Off the foot. He bobbles the ball. JT Realmuto's pointing. First base. Of course, all sorts of mayhem's going on and everything's going on inside this kid's brain. And he decides to throw home. I don't know where the delivery came from all of a sudden. But it was wide right. Or left. And the run scores. And the Philly season comes to an abrupt end. Heartbreaking play. Ribbing it with Ryan. Ryan will be joining us in a few minutes. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. And watching the game. And yes, I did do it. When I say I have two TVs rolling, I literally do. And I've even taken pictures of my TV setup. And, you know, because it is what it is. I try to watch as many games as you can because we have to come in and talk about it. So you had the Giants game had already started with the Eagles. And then the Dodgers game's getting late to the point where the Brewers and Cubs got booted to the next network. Had to interrupt Charmed or whatever the hell they play. You know what I mean? And it was just, there's no automatic runner in the playoffs in extra innings. It's old school. You got to get on, maybe advance, et cetera, et cetera. Lizardo comes in out of the bullpen, all hands on deck, certainly for Philadelphia, because it's an elimination game for them, for the Dodgers. You know, it could go back to Philly, and, you know, you don't want to blow an 0-2 lead or a 2-0 lead, et cetera, et cetera. Glasnow was dealing. Then he cramped up. So they go to the bullpen. And then Sheehan comes in, gives up the run. Philadelphia walking in runs with the bases loaded. So what do you think of this? Before we get to Kerkering and the Buckner moment that will live in infamy. It won't be, I don't think, resonate the way that Buckner's did because it was a World Series game. Even though the Red Sox had another day to live and actually were up 3-0 in Game 7 and blew that game too. But Buckner, you know, he's always been the GOAT. But Rob Thompson, there's second and third, two outs. They intentionally walk Ohtani, who was 1-for-17 with 8 Ks. He's Ohtani. We get it. But so far in the series, he's been Haney with the stick. So they walk him to load the bases. Duran comes in to pitch to Mookie Betts. And Duran doesn't walk anybody. And he walks in the run. So did you agree with that level of strategery? Because the way that Ohtani had been scuffling, wouldn't you have... I don't know. And Mookie Betts has all these playoff heroics. I mean, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario. But the last thing they expected, obviously, was for Duran's 100-mile-an-hour fastball to be unable to find the strike zone.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, it even started the issues before that, and you could even place blame on the umpires, where it should have been a strikeout.
Cool with that, yeah.
Christopher Sanchez had a guy out that ends up coming around to score on Duran's walk. So... just blame to go all around here, but you know, you can point at the manager, Thompson's decisions and everything. I mean, to me, that really wasn't a big factor in the game last night. And Kerkering's going to be the one that gets pointed at and ousted from Philadelphia and made fun of for years, but it's really letting the Phillies offense off the hook. You scored one run in 11 innings. That's just completely unacceptable. And your offense, you know, crapping the bed was a big reason why you fell down 0-2.
No doubt.
You finally found a power surge. Schwarber went crazy with two homers to save you in Game 3, but then you go right back to it. I mean, these stats last night. Trey Turner, 0-for-5 out of the leadoff spot, 2 Ks. Kyle Schwarber had a hit, but 2 Ks. Bryce Harper, 0-for-4. He had the walk late. I mean, it was had to take the walk there, but still, I mean, those are your guys that are supposed to get it done, and they didn't even come close to getting it done in this series. To me, this is all on the Phillies' offense.
Because their rotation pitched well. To your point, yep. They just could not get any offense going. But for Kirkring, and, you know, we look at the baseball, that sort of gack job. I mean, Donnie Moore in the 86 ALCS for the Angels against the Red Sox, giving up the home run with two strikes and two outs to Dave Henderson to tie that. And they eventually lost that game in extra innings. And, you know, and Gene Mauch, you know, went to his grave never getting to the World Series and all sorts of things. Different sport. I was at the Superdome, Nolan, for the Final Four National Championship game in 93 when Weber called the timeout against North Carolina when they didn't have any timeouts. And how many missed field goals in crucial situations have we seen? But for Kirkring, and I like that Rob Thompson did kind of address him before he even made it into the dugout to, you know, kind of give him some sort of empathy. But I'm guessing right now in Philadelphia, both teams, Phillies and Eagles, a lot of guys are getting lambasted, shall we say.
Big day on our other Odyssey station, 94 WIP. Yeah. I will be tuned in as soon as our show is done. It's going to be a big day for them.
Yeah, we'll come back. Ryan Ripken's going to be joining us. So the Dodgers advance. They score a run on a bases loaded walk and an error by the pitcher. And they get to the championship series. They'll wait for either the Cubs or the Brewers as they get it on over the weekend. You got tonight, Tigers taking on the Mariners with the Blue Jays waiting. Blue Jays make short work of the Yankees. We got all of that more. And then the Orioles still need a manager. Mike Bordick thinks it's going to be Tony Manzalino. And you try to connect dots like Colombo. I mean, why would you bring him to the end of season press conference unless he might be getting a job?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we'll get to what happened last night at Chavez Ravine and the heartbreak that it is for the Phillies as their season comes to a very disappointing and abrupt end. But the Cubbies, they get housed for two games in Milwaukee. They're down 0-2. They get back to the friendly confines. And last night got all over Freddy Peralta like a Kmart suit. And then Boyd, who got his brains bashed in game one, he started the show well. Milwaukee only generates three hits of offense. Now, Ryan Ripken, we go into the deciding game five coming up tomorrow. Before we get to Philadelphia, Toronto, and preview tonight's game between the Mariners and the Tigers. First of all, how you doing?
Doing great. I mean, hey, this is a great time of the year. I know, you know, Orioles fans would have loved some postseason ball, but if you're a baseball fan, this is what you hope for. There's heartbreak. There's tense moments. And winner-take-all baseball games. And in these series, I mean, I know I'm kind of feel like I sound like a nerd, or I just love playoff baseball.
Who doesn't?
So I think this is the perfect time that I'm here, obviously.
Yeah, and, you know, you'll be here throughout October. Mm-hmm. And like you said, no Orioles for the first time in 3 years. Not that they had a long shelf life, but we're not here to rag on the Orioles. We can do that later on in the show. But Chicago, back in a big way. So now you get to the Game 5 in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like pitchers to be determined, at least early on, and it's an all-hands-on-deck kind of game. Pressure's more on who at this stage as L.A. awaits the winner?
I mean, it's the Brew Crew. No doubt it's the Brew Crew, and here's the reason why, right? It's the same reason when we get to the Dodgers. It didn't matter what seed the Dodgers were going into the playoffs. Why? It's the Dodgers. They have the track record in the postseason where they find ways to win ball games. They're the defending champs. The Milwaukee Brewers, best team in baseball. But you know what's still lingering over them? Was last year's ninth inning, Devin Williams on the mound versus Pete Alonso. And Pete Alonso takes him deep, and that deflates and ends the Milwaukee Brewers season. So the Brew Crew right now, being the top dogs, The Cubs have nothing to lose here. Yes, they are the quote-unquote bigger name in sports. Sure. The Cubs, the Cubbies. But Chicago's playing with house money. They are going in as the underdogs. And this is the beauty of winner-take-all game fives. Everyone will be available. Nothing's on the, off the table. I think Milwaukee should win this game. But if the Cubs did what they did the past two games, then Chicago's going to advance to go play the Dodgers. I mean, that's just the way it is right now. So, yeah, all pressure on the Brew Crew.
Now, the Dodgers, they advance. They get a run on a bases-loaded walk. Did you agree with the strategy, Thompson, intentionally walking Ohtani with two outs, second and third, to get to Mookie Betts? I mean, yeah, you're going to match up. Is it Duran or Duran? I always go Duran, Manos DiPiejos. But 100-mile-an-hour-plus fastball, usually run impeccable control, but he's pitching around Mookie Betts and ultimately led to a run that turned out to be detrimental to their quest for victory here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't have a problem with that decision because in baseball, whatever you do, you have to, you know, especially when you're facing the Dodgers, you got to pick your poison. So you said, you know what, I'd rather Mookie Betts, who is going to be a future Hall of Famer, beat us than Shohei Ohtani, future Hall of Famer, right? Like, you make a choice, you got to live with it. But the problem when you put a guy on to load the bases is that your room for error for pitching around is gone. And that's what happened right there, right? You can't pitch around. And if your control's a hair off, you're going to get in trouble, and that's the only downside. But when you look at what Shohei Ohtani's done, and you got to make a choice, yeah, I got no problem with Rob Thompson and the Phillies saying, hey, we're gonna pick Betts, but that is just the harsh reality. And in a game where it was a pitching duel, the Phillies were hoping they could get more runs than they did. But in the playoffs, Bob, little things are magnified more, and then that moment, and then what was to follow in extra innings turned out to be the big difference in that ball game.
Nolan, get in here, because we were talking, Ryan, before you got into the studio here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Corn. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. By the way, we have a Ravens attendance report for practice. Well, spoiler alert, no Lamar. But Nolan thinks, and we can get here, and we'll, you know, the kid that booted the ball in the 11th inning, Keckering, and he'll get the business, and they'll be playing that in infamy in Philly for years to come. But outside of a Game 3 offensive uprising from a couple of Schwarbombs there in Real Muto, Nolan, tell him what you think about the high-priced Philly lineup here.
Well, the top of the order just didn't get it done. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, all series outside of Game 3, Schwarber had the two homers, but even still, like last night, Trey Turner 0 for 5, Bryce Harper 0 for 4. He had that late walk, but still, I mean, those are the guys that are supposed to come through. The fact that Nick Castellanos had more impactful at-bats in the series than those guys, I think speaks volumes. And Casty's had great, you know, playoff track record, but this year was a huge regression for him, and he was pissed all year. I mean, him and Thompson butted heads, and he had the comment about the fans earlier in the series. I mean, I would have expected him to completely check out, but he actually delivered.
I mean, this is the reality in professional sports, because I got asked this question on Inside Access a couple days ago with, if the Phillies don't win, what do you do? They can't figure it out. You know, the Phillies have been to a World Series. They were one win away against the Diamondbacks, and they blew a 3-1 lead to go back to the World Series.
Yeah, that stinks.
You know, and then last year, the Mets are red hot, and they knock you out when you were the best team in the National League. And then you play a Dodgers team, World Series pedigree, championship pedigree, and you got to make the plays, you got to step up, and you don't. So when I look at the Phillies, yeah, I mean, Nolan, you said it right. I mean, if your stars aren't going to make the plays, you need other guys to come through. I mean, in Toronto with the Blue Jays, Vlad Guerrero Jr. was sensational, but also six other Blue Jays hitters hit over 300 that series, right? So it's not just on the superstars when you have the other help. But Phillies in that series, Bryce Harper didn't have the Bryce Harper moment that we had seen when they went to the World Series years back. You guys remember that Padres game? Bryce Harper, home run to left field?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have his signature moment in this series. And so when you look back at it, like, that's the biggest problem with the Philadelphia Phillies and any other team that fails in the postseason. Your stars have to be stars, or someone has to be that unsung hero. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, they didn't have either.
But to Philly, you just brought it up, Ryan, and I'm guessing we're Inside Access was going with this too. They're going from World Series to NLCS to division round game five. To they're going in reverse in regards to where you're thinking they're supposed to be going in regards to postseason achievement here.
Yeah, and I understand that thought process, but here's the crazy thing, at least in my mind, or to change the perception. The Dodgers have won, what, 12 of 13 division titles now? Something like that? Something ludicrous. Up until they won the World Series during the COVID year, you know what everyone said about the Dodgers? Oh, they can't win the postseason. It's a failure. But that's like the perception that people look at for consistent greatness. It might not be the greatness of winning championships, but the Dodgers were in it every year. And it's just, I know people don't like this answer, but when you are in the postseason, you just got to hope that things are clicking right. So for Phillies fans, you're disappointed because you feel like you're taking steps back. But if you look at the big picture, do you have the opportunity to accomplish everything you set out to do? The answer is yes. The problem was you just didn't execute.
We'll come back, talk more baseball playoffs with Ryan Ripken as we're ripping it with Ryan as we do every Friday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. If you want to get in, you can. 410-583-1057. Talk about the Ravens as well. 7.5-point dogs. No Lamar, not practicing. It's all about Cooper Rush. But could we see Tyler Huntley in this?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game underway. Let's get back real quick, Ryan and Nolan, to the Dodgers finale, and they advance. They're in the NLCS. It is what it is. But Orion Kekering, you're his teammate. If you missed it, Tapper back to the mound, broken bat, bases loaded, two outs. He bobbles, and you know, then things go haywire. Instead of just, you know, it's easy for me to say from my couch, just throw it to first.
Yeah,
it's like it's you play it like it's nobody out in the top of the first inning. And you know, he felt the pressure and, you know, hit Frank Sinatra with the ball, who was sitting behind on plate. Or, you know, you get the point. Oh, yeah. Fancy people. You're his teammate. What do you say? In the moment, your season's over. However, how do you handle this thing?
I mean, I've been a part of many moments like that where I've been the one that's been in Kirk Green's position and also then been on the side where someone makes a mistake and you have to be in that position. I've also been on the other side of being like the Dodgers, where you win the game and you're ecstatic, but you know, as a human, as an individual, you hurt for the guy. When I watched the play last night, I even yelled out like, ah, and Jamie looked over at me and goes, "You all right?" And I kept just staring and watching because it brought back the memories. And look, for those that have played will understand, but like, let me walk you through real quickly the situation. So bases juiced, season on the line for the Phillies, 1-1 game and two outs, and you get a broken bat ball right back to you. And you practice pitchers fielding practice. You make this play 10 times out of 10. You practice it all the time and you make the play. He didn't field it cleanly. And you could sense then for 2 seconds, panic, being out of the element of what your routine was, set in, the panic set in, and instead of picking it up and throwing it to first, you decide to throw it home and airmails it. Dodgers win the game. And the hardest part for me was watching Kirkren look over at first base after he threw it to see where the runner was and the realization. And you could see how heartbroken he was. So, you know, what I want people to understand as a fan, as a teammate, it sucks. Like, it sucks because it ended just that way and you got to sit on it. But the hardest thing is for Kirkren, where he has to sit there and he is going to have to live with that. It's never going to go away. I hate the cliche. You're going to move on. Oh, you know what? You'll forget about it. You won't forget about that. Like, you won't. I still remember in Aberdeen in 2017 on a short season game, Bob, where it's one game. One game for us in not a playoff game, regular season game, ball hit to my right. It's second and third, two outs. I make this play every single time. I turn around, I'm going to throw it to first base with the pitcher covering, and I airmail it. I had a moment of hesitancy, and I threw it over the pitcher's head. Both runners scored. We lose the game by one. And I'm still thinking of that to this day. And think about this young man on this level. But I love what Rob Thompson did, and I love the reaction there. It's a sour way to end the season, but I hope it's a good reminder for people. Like, this is the human element in sports, that you can be prepared. You can do everything that you hope you can in practice, and then you just got to hope that you are locked in for all of it. And unfortunately for Kerkerim, those 2 seconds, he got out of his routine, and that's a moment that Phillies fans are going to hold on to for a while.
Now let me ask you this. Even if he saves Game 7 of 3 World Series to help them win championships, whatever his role is going to be with Philadelphia, that stench is still... I mean, it'll ease the pain, I guess, to some level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But still, that's like, yeah, damn. I mean,
you win.
Because that's a one-year thing. That team that was put together last night, that the season ended, they're probably never be together as that group. I mean, you got some free agents to be and all this stuff. That season ended with that particular team.
Yeah, I mean, no team is the same, even when you look at it. If you say everyone's coming back, the dynamics can be different.
Sure.
We see it every single year. I mean, heck, we talked about if the Orioles, after they had the 2023, the 2024, here we go, and it looked good until it wasn't. Because injuries happen, you get in a funk, and then 2025 happens, where everything goes awry, and no one had on their bingo card the Orioles being the worst team in the American League East. And they were. So there's no guarantee. I mean, and that's the part. They could go on and win. Kerkerim can go on and be a dominant force. And the thing is, he can use this to his advantage. He can use this as fuel. And that's the thing I look forward to the most as a for players out there, is how do you bounce back? Like, I do love that aspect because, you know, it's over now. What do you do next? But yeah, that moment is going to stick in his head. And unfortunately, Phillies fans, that's going to be there no matter what. Because let me ask you a question real quickly, Bob.
Yes.
And then the Orioles haven't won a World Series since 1983.
Aware.
But Jeffrey Mayer and that ball.
Mm-hmm.
Does that play still stick in your head?
In my head? Oh, yeah.
No?
I mean.
Sticks in my dad's head still.
Because he was on the field. But if Davey Garcia walks in this room today, I'll call him a word that I can't say on a... I called it then. It rhymes with wussy.
Yeah.
I said, he knew it was fan interference. He was in the Bronx. He was afraid to make the call. I mean, even Bob Costas on the play-by-play on TV, John Miller was still calling the Oriole games.
Mm-hmm.
Davey Johnson, rest in peace. He beat everybody in the... See, now you got me running hot in the stadium. I will tell him to his face that he blew it. And to this day, he still kind of, he doesn't really, and instead of being bottom of the eighth, Orioles up by one out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tie game.
Mm-hmm.
So here, just like on a fly ball to right.
So you just proved my point exactly right here. I see no one laughing over there because that I didn't think that we were going to escalate that much. That's exactly my point. Fans in moments, they will remember that. They're going to remember this game in LA because if the Phillies win that game, they come back and it's the what if. Could we have won this series and beaten the Dodgers and moved on? And that is the reality of it. This moment will not go away, especially for the fans. And for Kerkerim, it won't go away, but he's going to have the opportunity in the future to go out there, throw the baseball, and try to prove to everyone that he can, when the moment arises again, he'll be ready for it.
Richie Garcia, excuse me.
Well, he doesn't deserve it.
I tell Davey Garcia, too.
Or Jerry Garcia.
Jerry Garcia.
Him, too. But anyway, with Kerkerim, I mean, he'll have a future. He's a young kid. He's only 24. And his track record in the majors so far is actually very solid. He's been a very solid bullpen arm. Is his future with Philadelphia, though? I think just with the nature of that town, the nature of how much of a collapse or how much of a gaffe this play was – I think he's still pre-arbitration, so it gets a little tricky. I mean, you wouldn't willingly move on from a guy who is really good in the regular season, who's also very cheap. But at the same time, like, is that fan base just rip him to shreds where you can't bring him back?
No, he's got to come back. And you bring back talent first. You have to. And if it gets to a point where it becomes such a problem, then yeah, you make a move. But it would be a disservice to not only Kerkering, but it would be a disservice to the Phillies, because this dude, and I remember, last thing I'll say, I remember I watched him in high A. And that year I had some scouts tell me, this dude's that talented, he's going to be in the bigs in 2 months. And sure enough, he is. He's got a bright future.
Yeah, and if they want to get rid of him, we'll take him here in Baltimore.
Yes, we will.
For sure. Richie Garcia, you stay home. We'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. 1 o'clock, we'll talk about the Ravens as Noah Lamar. Do they have a chance? I mean, no chance at 7.5-point dogs against the Rams. It's going to rain. We'll get Ryan's thoughts on that game. And, of course, Maryland trying to bounce back after that debacle against Washington last Saturday. According to MLB trade rumors, about to get $1 million upgrade in the arbitration process. The non-tendering, you count on Kobe Mayo, who had a great September. How do you build the bullpen, starting pitcher or two? I mean, Grayson Rodriguez apparently is going to be ready for spring training. What does that mean? We heard Mike Elias say he thinks Tyler Wells is right now a guy that they anticipate being in the rotations. Who's closing games for them in 2026? We got all of that coming. And then some. Before we get to the phones, Ryan and Nolan, of course, we had Mike Bordick on yesterday talking about the Oriole managerial search.
Mm-hmm.
And what do they – we keep hearing experience this – and Mike Elias did bring it up at the end of season press conference. And Tony Manzalino's got over 110 games of it. Mike Bordick thinks Manzalino's going to retain the job when it's all said and done. What kind of intel are you getting there?
I think that's a very serious outcome. I do. I think that for the Orioles, you know, we've kind of talked about it in length in the past, so I'll do the spark notes here, the cliff notes, whatever people are talking about.
I don't
about
know
when
what spark notes are.
Yeah, I forgot with my audience. So in high school for me, it was in a way, if you felt like you needed to understand a book, more people would go online and search, you know, help me understand what happened in this book.
When I was in high school, you had to go to get microfilm to look up old.
Well, you know what? You know, that was the beginning of technology. Now everyone can use like Chat GPT to be like, hey, give me a summary of what happened. Let me give you a quick summary of what I've said in the past. The three options. Orioles could either go veteran manager, a up-and-coming manager, or in this case, could be keep the same one that was the interim manager. And so when you look at it, veteran manager, I have a hard time seeing a veteran come in to have the choice. To have the full autonomy with how the front offices run with their rosters nowadays. Up-and-coming manager, do you take a risk on one of those guys, like a Ryan Flaherty type, who, young enough, analytics, he's a part of the game, understands the analytics, and also as a manager, a young enough guy that he can connect with the players as a manager. Or then option three, the guy that was here and you built up a rapport with and players really like and they respect, and that was different than they felt with Brandon Hyde. So personally, I think option one with the veterans, and no, there's risk with option two, and people might not like it, but option three, for a continuity standpoint, it does make sense if the Orioles were to go this way.
Now, Nolan, you helped get Brandon Hyde fired, so what do you think about Tony Manzalino possibly getting the full-time gig here?
I mean, I do believe it is a possibility. I just hope that this hasn't all been a lie. Like, you know, the saying that we're going through this thorough manager search and we're exploring other candidates and we want to do everything we can to add additional new voices to the organization. If that was all just kind of, you know, lip service, knowing the whole time that it was going to be Manzalino. Now, if you interview other candidates or jobs get filled very quickly and you're not so happy with the pool of candidates that's left over and you say, all right, well, out of this group, Manzalino, probably the best option. I could see that. To me, he's an acceptable backup option. It wouldn't be the end of the world if he's back, but they really should have their sights set much higher.
Now, as Nolan just said, which is a very good point,
mm-hmm.
that if this is all just smoke and mirrors and this is your plan all along and this cert, and I'm not saying it is or isn't. I don't know what Mike Elias is thinking right now, but if this is all just a way to divert attention from the fact that we're gonna do this to pacify a disgruntled fan base and we decide that he's the best guy for the job. I mean, if he keeps the job, is he better than Dave Ross? Or is he better than Bob Melvin or insert candidate
here? Yeah, so let me first go with this. I can confidently say that this is not a smoke and mirrors thing for the Orioles. It's not.
Okay?
Because in this case, if Tony is to be your manager, for his sake and to get your staff ready for next year, you make that decision right now. You do. So I don't believe that, and I know they want to do more of their homework, and inside, internally, you are trying to look at all the options. But you just mentioned Bob Melvin, David Ross. This is the part when you have a manager come in from the outside, and we've seen veteran managers who have a track record that have done well, that sometimes they plug and play, and they have that immediate impact. Like, I would say right now, a guy that built up that reputation, Joe Maddon was one of those guys. Sure. When he went from Tampa to Chicago. You can look at, you know, Buck Showalter has developed that type of reputation, but that's not an option. You know, Bob Melvin's a good manager, and he had good success out with the Athletics, but then it didn't necessarily go over when he went from destination to destination. What, Padres and Giants, right? So there's a risk for whoever you bring in. So the biggest thing for me is, there has to be continuity with your manager and your front office, and then they got to be able to do what they need to do to have success on the field. And I think this past year, the combination of injuries, the style of play philosophically in the organization, but then I do believe there's been some disconnect between the front office and the clubhouse. So you can't have that regardless of who you decide as your manager. You have to be unified in what you're trying to do in 2026.
I also think, you know, a lot of the speculation we're doing here, it's the source of, you know, not really having any information at all. And I would expect that whenever the Orioles do make their decision on their manager, it'll just pop up one day out of nowhere. We won't have any reports of Orioles linked to Joe Blow or whoever. I mean, unless someone gets spotted at the airport flying in here for an interview, there's going to be nothing reported on the thing. It'll just pop up out of nowhere, because just like the Orioles approach to free agency, their own guys in-house and extensions for them, it's just always been super tight-lipped. They don't want any single bit of information out there, and I'd expect this to be no different.
And as we hit the top of the hour, if you're on the phones, we'll get you when we come back. I don't want to hear Oriole ties. And Bob Melvin played for the Why Not Orioles through 91, teammate of your dad, Cal's. Mm-hmm. Played for the Giants, too,
mm-hmm.
before he came to Baltimore. And I saw how that worked out. So we will come back, take your calls, 410-583-1057. Who should the Orioles hire? Do they need the experienced guy? Ryan Flaherty's got Buck Showalter ties, but he doesn't have Mike Elias ties. Should that matter at all? And the Ravens are getting 7.5 points. How do they pull the upset? Personally, I don't see it. We did our picks earlier. I went 38-13 Rams. Ryan will get his thoughts. And Maryland tomorrow, trying to bounce back. If it is the same old Terps, they'll lose tomorrow. But I don't think it's the same old Terps. That's why they're going to win.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.